Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Yes, this is Morning Crossfire, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Nigeria mourns the death of an innocent 21-year-old girl who died unjustly in neighboring African country, Ivory Coast. Let me quote here. Unfortunately, Tunu died abruptly while all hands were on deck to seek both legal and diplomatic intervention for her by Nigeria. Tunu was sentenced to 20 years imprisonment for an offense she did not apparently commit. Her death, however, will not stop the appeal in court in order to vindicate her of the charges against her. That's in part an e-signed press release by NITCOM Abuja Head of Media Public Relations Unit Abdurrahman Balogun on the commission's website, that's nitcom.gov.ng, demanding, quote and unquote, full investigation into the death of the late Nigerian in Cote d'Ivoire prison. According to the statement signed by the chairman, Nigeria's in Diaspora Commission, NITCOM, Honorable Abike Dabirewa, describing, again I quote, the death of Tunu as a tragic blow at a time the Nigerian mission in Cote d'Ivoire had paid and engaged the services of a lawyer to handle Itunu's appeal case. Itunu's case was brought to the attention of NITCOM about 5 months ago. Well, Dabirewa said, I quote, she was sentenced to 20 years imprisonment while the Nigerian mission in Cote d'Ivoire, supported by the Nigerian community, got her a lawyer, paid part payment of legal fees for the lawyer to appeal the judgment, while at the same time seeking diplomatic intervention from the Nigerian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The staff of the Nigerian mission had also visited Itunu in prison, a distance of over 4 hours from Abidjan. Welcome to the Morning Crossfire. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. Today we're looking at the case of Itunu, a young lady living and working in Cote d'Ivoire, a Nigerian citizen who dies unjustly in Cote d'Ivoire prison. Joining me shortly over Skype will be David Houdain of West Africa Weekly. He did a full investigative report on the Itunu case earlier this year and brought it to the attention of several people with the hashtag Justice for Itunu trending earlier this year. The death of this 21-year-old stirred outrage off and on social media, people accusing the federal government of neglecting the young ladies. Now, the backstory to this is that Itunu is a trader in Cote d'Ivoire, a Nigerian trader, a young lady, and she came to Nigeria in 2019 to visit her sick mother. Unfortunately for her, her return to Cote d'Ivoire was the beginning of her woes, as when she returned, before she traveled, her house had been burgled, according to the report, and she had reported the matter to the police in Cote d'Ivoire. When she returned, she followed up on the case and she was told the suspect was a 17-year-old boy who had burgled the house. Apparently, the father of the boy acknowledged that the boy was a thief, and they wanted to find a way to settle the matter. The matter got to the police station where, according to reports again, the person in charge, whom we think might be the DPO, according to the reports that we have, said to Itunu that the 17-year-old boy who stole your stuff is my nephew. So, instead of, let me do this in Naira. Let's say the whole item is worth 300,000. Instead of 300,000, I'm just going to give you 100,000. Take it and go away. Itunu rejected it and went to court in Cote d'Ivoire. And that was her undoing. She was sentenced to 20 years in prison. She was at first a van of policemen came to her house to arrest her. Policemen arrested her and charged her for theft of her own items. She was charged for stealing her own items. And according to report, they also charged her for human trafficking. We hear she wasn't given adequate representation in court, so she didn't have time to defend herself or even understand the charges against her, and she was summarily thrown into prison. By this year, David Houdain traveled. He's going to tell us about his journey. When David is ready, he's going to join us right now to see what... David, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
All right, fantastic. Welcome to the Morning Crossfire. Quite an investigation you did on this very unfortunate case of Itunu Babalola. You uncovered some corruption within the Nigerian embassy in this case. Can you tell me about it?
Right, so it starts even before she reached out to me, Leah, an intermediary. So when she was wrongfully imprisoned, the first people she reached out to, obviously, was the Nigerian embassy in Abidjan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I told her was that because she was in Cote d'Ivoire without a valid passport, without a Nigerian passport, that basically they wouldn't be able to do anything for her. So if she wanted to be able to help herself, the first thing she would need to do is pay 400,000 naira to get a Nigerian passport.
400,000 naira to get a Nigerian passport?
Yes. So two things. First of all, a Nigerian passport doesn't cost even 10% of that sum officially. And bear in mind, this was 2019. Secondly, it's actually false to claim that without a Nigerian passport that they wouldn't have been able to help her. Because the truth is that as a citizen of an ECOWAS country, which Nigeria is, wherever you are within the ECOWAS region, as long as you can prove that you are a citizen of an ECOWAS state, nobody can describe you as an illegal immigrant.
Hmm.
The most they can do to you is deport you to your country of origin.
Hmm.
That's the most that can be done to you. You can't be described as an illegal immigrant within the ECOWAS region if you're an ECOWAS citizen.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing. The second thing was after she reached out and I put the story out there and the story gained traction, people started expressing their willingness to donate, to crowdfund for her, to see what they could do. The story came to gained national attention. The Nigerian embassy in Abidjan saw that as an opportunity for them to make money. That, oh, okay, so all these kind-hearted Nigerians want to donate to help this girl.
Hmm.
Okay, so it's an opportunity for us to collect our share of this, you know, free money that is coming from Nigeria now. This is an opportunity to collect our share. So as I went, NIDCOM and whoever were going around releasing statements claiming that they are helping, or they're hiring a lawyer, trying to get her case reheard, blah, blah, blah. What was actually happening was that the Nigerian embassy was reaching out to her family, and basically trying to extort them for money. Basically, so in the story that I did in July, I included the recording of a phone call between Itunu and a guy at the Nigerian embassy in Abidjan.
Mm.
And what he was saying was that the lawyer is asking for 2 million naira, and that before he will even start work, they need to deposit 1 million naira before he will even start work. And what was interesting was, I sincerely doubt that the cost of mobilizing a lawyer for that kind of open and shut case was anything close to 1 million naira. I strongly doubt that. That's one. The second thing was the accounts that he asked for Itunu's family to pay this money into was his personal account, his UBA account.
Hmm.
And he sent a picture of his checkbook with his full government name and his account number on it.
So expected the money to be paid.
Exactly. So you have a government employee contacting a Nigerian citizen wrongly imprisoned in Cote d'Ivoire, asking this person to tell her family to pay XYZ amount into his personal account.
What's his name again?
Razak Ayofe Olateju.
I'm on your website right now, and I'll take a minute to... It's a very long conversation. I would have wanted to play a part of it. But if you want to read that report, it's on West Africa Weekly. You can see it there. The full video, the full conversation is about 3 minutes long.
You can play the first. Maybe,
yeah, let me play a part of it. Just listen up.
The office of the lawyer, they brought a bill of 2 million. So, and he said before he can start any work, they have to pay 1 million. 1 million deposit and the work will start.
Is it with the money for the judge?
Eh?
Is it with the money for the judge?
The money for which judge?
The person that's going to recall for my case.
This is the money the lawyer collects to do his work.
His own money.
Well, the money of the lawyer, not judge. It's the lawyer's money. The case, what the case he wants to fight for, he said it's $2 million. So now presently, the money has got to about 400,000.
Okay.
So the consul has been contacting some other people. You know, some people get two before.
Yes.
That they use as transport and then to come. Those people are also struggling. They have got about 300,000 something they brought. But some other people also promised to bring money. So once we attain 1 million and we give the 1 million to the lawyer, then the lawyer will start the work.
I'm just going to stop right here. So apparently these are donations, right, David, which he expects to sum up to 1 million naira and then they can begin work.
Yes.
Hmm.
And that money was expected to be paid into his personal UBA account.
Hmm. Now, the unfortunate, this death it strikes a raw nerve because this is one of many other deaths in many other countries, not even West African, across the world, where Nigerians do not feel a representation of the Nigerian embassies in those countries. Your report also shows that there are about 2,000 Nigerian girls in the Ivorian Cote d'Ivoire, also illegally jailed under the term human trafficking. Tell me some more about what you found out about these other ladies and other Nigerians in Cote d'Ivoire.
So, my informant there, who basically works with an NGO that deals with the problem of sex trafficking and human trafficking in West Africa and has a significant presence in Cote d'Ivoire. The information from that informant, you know, that before I actually went there to try and, you know, do some recon of my own, was that how this works is that these girls are trafficked from Nigeria, or in some cases, they travel willingly. Like in Itunu's case, he traveled willingly from Nigeria to Cote d'Ivoire.
Mm-hmm.
Right, looking for greener pastures. In some cases, these people are trafficked. They are told that they are going to Italy or wherever, and then they end up in Abidjan instead. Mm-hmm. And then debted to one madam whom they have to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. There's a criminal connection there. And apparently the Ivorian authorities, the Ivorian legal system, the Ivorian police are also in on this scam, as well as the Nigerian embassy. So how this works is, they bring a girl over, maybe from Benin or from Ife. Some, they usually target people, like women who basically are not really in a position to know any better. Hmm. They don't speak French. Maybe if they are lucky, maybe they completed a secondary school education. Many of them didn't.
Hmm.
They are teenagers in most cases, 16, 17.
Hmm.
You know, they really don't know anything. They don't know any better. And they are sent there and they are told that they have to pay off 2 million naira, 3 million naira to one madam. They have to sell their bodies to do it.
Hmm.
And if they are lucky enough to actually pay off that debt or whatever, and then there's, you know, so basically how I would explain this is how the Nigerian police tends to look at the people we call Yahoo boys, right, as like cash wells. It's how the Ivorian police and the criminal community there looks at Nigerian sex workers, that these ones have money, you know, it's possible to obtain money from these. So you paid off your madam, or in the process of paying off your madam, or whatever, this criminal gang, or one of these criminal gangs in Cote d'Ivoire, will then ensure that you get reported to the police for something that you didn't do, some trumped up charge, right? Then the police will come and arrest you. Now, everything takes place in French. The document they will force you to sign is written in French. You don't know what you are signing, and you are going to sign. Because if you don't sign it, you get beaten or something. You are a young woman. What do you know? Who is going to fight for you? What are you going to do? You sign the document. So if the document says that, if the document is a confession that you killed the president or whoever, you go and sign it.
Without knowing what you're signing on.
And then you get sent to court. The court proceedings take place in French. The so-called public defender that they will appoint for you is speaking French. You don't understand what he's saying.
Hmm.
90% probability this person is selling you.
Hmm.
You
don't know what's going on.
The sentencing takes place in French, and the go-to sentence that is favored is human trafficking, because, and the reason for that is that under Ivorian law, human trafficking has a very harsh sentence. And so I believe it has a mandatory minimum of 10 years imprisonment, mandatory minimum. So sometimes, like in Itunu's case, you get 20 years, sometimes 30, 40, you know, ridiculous sentences. And more important, the barrier for proof, the bar for proof is very low.
In the case of Itunu, I mean, her situation began by, because her apartment was burgled, which she reported to the police, and the person in charge, which we assume to be the DPO, says, "This is my nephew, take this amount of money and go away, or otherwise I'm going to deal with you." He's picked up, and then she goes to court. Now, in all of this, because NIDCOM tells us that they paid some part, they made some part payment for counsel for Itunu to appeal her case. In all of this, was there any conversation about these police officers who cooked up a trumped up charge against her?
No, none.
None at all.
Essentially, no. So essentially what it is that the Ivorian police is basically a law unto itself. The Ivorian authorities. So by in the entire course of interacting with this case and with this story, the sense I got was that even though Nigeria is supposedly the hegemon within the ECOWAS region, it's supposed to be powerful, the most powerful country in the ECOWAS region. Nigeria really doesn't have that much say in what can and cannot be done in countries like Cote d'Ivoire. So even when it concerns Nigerian citizens, so there's an argument that maybe the soft power that Nigeria once had in the ECOWAS region, Nigeria doesn't have it again. But I also think there's also an element of the current Nigerian government, or maybe the Nigerian government institution as a whole, simply just doesn't really care that much. The lives of Nigerians are just not that important, because there was never any conversation about. So the NIDCOM put out a statement confirming that, you know, they went there on a fact-finding mission and they confirmed that this conviction was nonsense, basically. The entire conviction awarded to give someone 20 years in prison was based on the contradictory testimony of an 8-year-old child who was clearly coached to say what she said, because the two contradictory things in two different places, and she was a complete stranger to the suspect. So they said that, and then there was never any mention of how they intend to engage with the Ivorian authorities to ensure that sanctions are placed on the police officers that were involved, or the public prosecutor who was even named in the petition that she wrote. His name is Anthony Pakayoko. There was no mention of any of that.
This is absolutely, absolutely sad. Now, 2 months ago, on September 23rd precisely, the House of Reps called for the identification and release of Nigerians imprisoned in other countries across the world. They particularly urged the federal government to, I quote, intervene and secure the release of Nigerians who are being detained illegally in prisons abroad, while they also mandated the Committees on Foreign Affairs, Justice and Inter-Parliamentary Relations to ensure compliance with that resolution. The motion was moved by Dennis Idahosa, a lawmaker from Edo State. Let me quote a bit of what he said. The House is concerned about reports that many Nigerians are languishing in foreign prisons, some of whom are being illegally detained, while some are exposed to labor exploitation, poor living conditions, discrimination, sex exploitation, and other forms of dehumanizing treatment. The House is worried that from a 2019 survey report by the Legal Defense and Assistance Project, about 16,500 Nigerians who are in prisons outside the country were convicted without legal representation and without knowing why they were jailed. That's a big deal. Let me head to the phones and take a few calls on 0700-993-993-993. Female callers, 01465-7190. Make it as quick as possible, 30 seconds or less because of time. And you can also join on Facebook where we're streaming live, and also on YouTube. Good morning. Hello. Are you there?
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning. What's your name?
My name is Adams.
All right, Adams, make it quick.
Yeah. About this case of Itunu was, I think it's from the embassy of Nigeria. They don't care about Nigerians. That's the major problem we have. Because if they care about Nigeria, if their son or their daughter that has this kind of issue, they will have take action on it. But because she was an innocent girl and he's a Nigerian, at least they're supposed to try, and it's a very sad news.
Right. Thank you very much for calling. Anthony is on the line. Hello, Anthony. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, please, what I'm trying to say is that Nigerian government does not care for her citizens. And if we're going to deploy ambassadors to any of these nations, we should get career ambassadors. Can you imagine the kind of fraud going on there? If this were to happen to a U.S. Citizen or even other nations, they would just come there and pick their citizen away. Look at what is happening to a little girl for knowing nothing. It's unfortunate. It's poverty of the nation. May God help us in this country.
Thank you very much for calling me. Friday is also on the line here. Friday, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Wemimo.
Welcome, yes.
Wemimo, I don't know why you are surprised that they are gaining Nigeria in other countries. If you can shoot Nigeria youth with the Nigerian flag in their hand here in our country, what do you want our government to do outside our country? Mm-hmm. It's just a pity. It is what it is. It's just the situation we find ourselves. I don't think it will be solved very soon. The only thing that Nigeria should be very careful outside wherever they are. Yeah. Let us be very careful because, especially when they say, Malu will not get fly, will not get seen. Now God should fly for us.
Thank you very much, Friday. Let's speak with Daniel. Hello, Daniel.
Yeah, hello, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, how are you doing? Yeah.
Good, thank you.
It's so unfortunate what's in the news these days. You see, this country is honestly. See, there are a lot of things that you media people are not reporting, though. There are a lot of killings going on in Nigeria. When Nigerians are killing people in the east, everywhere, killing the youths, we are not saying anything. This one is out there. They don't care. Do they care? When we are killing our youths here, what do we expect people outside to do? So that's just, it's so unfortunate. I think I'm calling for this country. Let's do a referendum. Let's know where we are going to in this country. Hmm. It's just so unfortunate.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Let's see who's on the line here. Hello. Morning to you. Hello. Are you there? Speak up for me. Speak up for me. Quick, please.
My name is Sam.
All right. Go ahead, please, Sam.
Yeah, good morning. We're more special.
Good morning.
And I bless you for what you're doing and for raising this topic. And that's David speaking, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Please go on.
Exactly. And interesting. Exactly. All what he said was what I read before he said it and exactly what he posted on his page because I'm following. It's really devastating, like seriously. And people need Nigerian government, a lot of people working on that aspect. They need to ask to this. Because I keep wondering how. And finally, she died.
Unfortunately.
And I'm even feeling the guilt that for God, because I thought she has been released. Because from everything you can see, what people are saying, you think maybe she will be released. You understand? It's really painful, it's really devastating. And that's what will keep happening. That's what we keep saying. Nobody's been held accountable to a lot of nonsense happening in this country.
It's unfortunate. I'm sorry. That's the truth. But I really need to go now. We'll possibly have a second half of this conversation. I will try again and reach out to NEEDCOM. I will try and see if we can get them here on the show tomorrow. A critical aspect of this conversation is also traveling without passports or traveling without knowing why you're going there. Even if you're going there, you know, it's just a lot of intricacies muddled up and it's a mess. Unfortunately, this young lady is dead. David Hundai, thank you very much for joining me on the Morning Cross 5 this morning. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Nigeria, I'm back again 5 a.m. tomorrow on the show. Make sure you join me. Let's talk on social media as Wemimo Sport. We have much more lined up for you today on Nigeria Info, so stay here and then go away.
This is an infomercial. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.